I always love to come to places where there is where there has been a track record of success over a long period of time, because it shows that there's commitment from the leadership to see the region changed and shaped for the gospel. So you guys have that right here in Marinette, and I'm so glad to be here. I've been in this region a number of times because my wife was born here in Marinette, and it claims Wisconsin and Michigan as home. Anytime there's a football game on TV, she cheers for Wisconsin or Michigan or anything that has those words in it, you know. So I've become very familiar with this area over time, and I just had breakfast at the Serving Spoon this morning. It's one of my favorite little spots in the UP, so praise the Lord. But yeah, I come here, I'm an evangelist, and oftentimes missionaries, you've had missionaries come and they go into different regions for a period of time, and they serve there to see the region shape, just like a pastor would go to a church, and in the church they'll stay in a region to see the region shaken for the gospel. Well, I'm an evangelist, and what I do is I go into regions, and I will come in for a short period of time to bring in a mass wave of salvation to then bring people into the churches and to have them discipled right there in the churches by the pastors and the leadership there. So I just returned from the nation of Pakistan just last month, and it's a 10-hour time difference. And in this region, we had 30,000 people come over 4 days. We had 26,720 Muslims that turned from darkness to light and gave their life to Jesus. And in these places, we go in and we say that Jesus is the way. Is there anybody here that wants to follow Jesus? And we find that people, they've went to witch doctors and imams, they've went to Shiite priests, and they've went to the temples, and they find that there's no power in anything else. And so they say, well, let me just take a chance and see what this white man from America is coming to tell us about. So they say, well, I'll come because I need a miracle. I need a healing. The doctors have said there's no hope. And I go in and I say, I'm not a healer today, but I'm going to tell you about somebody that is. We then preach a crystal clear gospel message. And in these regions, by thousands of people, sometimes tens of thousands of people, people will get up and come forward to receive Jesus Christ. They'll then get connected into the churches. And we've already had 26,720 Muslims that have made this decision just in November in Pakistan. So praise the Lord for that. I then went over to Sri Lanka just after this, also in November. And in this region, we ministered to another 3,500 people over the course of a few days. And I was in places where they had been threatened by Buddhist extremists to burn the churches down and to take down the churches and to kill the Christians in these regions. The extremism is absolutely terrible. And what we're finding is the people were coming in for the same exact reason. Well, I want to come in and just hear this white man from America and hear him talk about this man named Jesus, because I also cannot be healed, and I've also went to the witch doctors, and I've also went to my monks and to my priests, and they can't heal me, and they don't give me any hope, so I might as well give the American Christian guy a try. And that's how they came into the services, the same way as in Pakistan. And what did we find? They all gave their lives to Jesus. Miracles started breaking out. And in these places, blind eyes, deaf ears, cripples walking, tumors vanishing, rashes and swelling disappearing and vanishing just right before our eyes. So praise the Lord. I tell you what. Jesus is winning around the world, despite what you see on CNN and Fox and ABC and NBC and all these news stations. I'm here to bring good news today. The good news is the gospel. It's present. It's happening now. And what's happening now is that people are finding that the name above all names is the same name that was there 2,000 years ago, dying on a cross for your sins and my sins and saving people in Pakistan and Sri Lanka and Nicaragua and America. It's happening everywhere, church. And we are a part of the greatest movement of history and harvest in the history of the world. So we are a part of it, church. Are you excited? I have so many stories I can share, and I could talk for hours just with the stories. I do want to preach a message right out of the scriptures that God has put on my heart for you today, but I will share a few stories because everybody likes to hear what's happening around the world. what I'm technically doing in these regions, and I never say where I'm going ahead of time because then I can't get the visa to get in. We're going to a closed country in April, so please be praying for us. We're going to be preaching the gospel to in a village area of about 10 to 12,000 people. They've never heard about Jesus before. So please keep us in prayer. We can be killed for what we're doing. I mean, this is a very real thing. And on the last night of our crusade in Pakistan, I could have also been killed or imprisoned, or I could have been the scene on the Donald Trump news story trying to free an American out of the country, because I could have been that guy. I was that close. The last night of our gospel crusade, there's about 8,000 or 9,000 people that were there in this tent, and I'm preaching the gospel. It's the final night. There's an excitement in the air. There's already been three straight nights of miracles happening everywhere. And I'm preaching all about Jesus, and I'm about 3 minutes from saying, "Who wants to follow Jesus?" I'm almost there. And then right in the back of this 12,000-seat tent, this man walks in with a battalion of security officers and police officers. And I said, "Oh no, it's happening. All the things I feared are about to come true." So I didn't know what to do but to keep preaching about Jesus, because I figured if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down getting another 8,000 people to come with me. Amen. So I kept preaching. I said, "Jesus is the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. Who wants to follow Jesus?" As this man's marching down the center aisle, he walks right across the side of the platform, comes up, and walks up onto the stairs with all the police officers and security officers. They didn't tap me on the shoulder, and I didn't turn around. I said, "I'm just going to keep preaching." So I kept preaching, and I said, "Who wants to follow Jesus here?" And many, many people stood up and began filling out the decision cards, and we began connecting them into the local churches right there, and still nobody tapped me. So I said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and take my liberty a little bit further. We might as well pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well." How many of you want to get filled with the Spirit today? I tell you what, so we kept going. And nobody tapped me. And then somebody says, "Hey, the chief of police is here. It's him." And I'm like, "So should I stop or keep going?" And I'm like, "He hasn't stopped me yet, so I'm going to keep going." So I said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit now." So there was about 8,000 people there that night. We had over half of the crowd raise their hand saying they had received the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in tongues in this amazing, amazing miracle moment right there in the tent. And then somebody behind me says, "Hey, the chief of police gave his life to Jesus." And they said, "Hey, also the chief of police just got filled with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah! Come on. Church, this is the real gospel. We preach the real gospel, the real Jesus Christ, and he is alive today. We had many, many wonderful miracles. There was a girl who was stabbed in her eye 2 years ago with a needle, and she was instantly healed on the spot of a blind eye, right to the delight of all the people. The family was there rejoicing with her. We had a woman who had a protruding stomach due to a disease, and her stomach was enlarged, and she was obviously very distraught about this because she always felt odd going into public. Even though they would wear the long coverings over their body, you could still tell there was something going on with her. And she was very, very disturbed about this. And I said, "There's somebody here with a stomach issue right now. And right now there's a heat in your stomach and you feel it. That's because the Holy Spirit has begun to touch your body." I said, "Jesus is healing you right now." And that woman began to say, "Ah!" I didn't know what it was. I thought it was another demoniac because I heard a bunch of those too. Turns out the lady went home that night to her family and she took off her coverings and showed her family. She said, "I think my stomach shrunk." Her family said, "Where were you?" And she said, "I went to go hear the American man tell me about Jesus." So she came back the next night and came onto the platform to testify during the miracle times and testimony times, that her stomach had shrunk and the disease was gone. She went to the doctors, praise the Lord, she was healed of everything. Just, there was so many wonderful miracles. Another woman, I said, "Somebody right now, you're demon-possessed and you have mental insanity going on in your mind." And I said, "I don't know what it is, but right now you just need to scream out the name of Jesus and you will be free." And the woman was trying to do what I said because she knew it was her. And she began to say, and I said, "Somebody right now is really struggling. I just sense there's somebody fighting in the spirit right now. You need to just scream out the name of Jesus. And she kept trying, but what she was seeing was she was actually being literally choked and losing and suffocating every time she would try to say it. She would see a dragon right in front of her eyes staring at her, like as real as I see you and you see me. A real literal dragon staring at her every time she would try to do it. And I said, I don't know what it is that you're facing, but just scream out Jesus. And in that moment, I heard a shout from the middle of the tent, Jesus! And the woman said in that moment, the dragon, she just saw it fall to the floor. And she came up onto the platform to testify. She had been completely delivered and set free of the demon possession. So praise the Lord. I'm just telling you some of these stories because Jesus is winning around the world and we don't ever hear about this. We don't get to hear these kinds of things, but it's the same Jesus. And I want to just share just a couple more of these stories because oftentimes people say, well, why does it always happen around the world? Why does it never happen in America? I mean, some of you may be thinking that right now. I was just in North Dakota in October and we had a woman whose legs were uneven. And right in front of her eyes, the leg grew out, became even with the other one right on the spot. That same woman said she had been trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for over a decade. And I said, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and you're going to have an encounter with the Lord. At 3 a.m., she woke up and she began speaking in tongues in the Spirit right in her bed. I don't know why God does things some ways and others, but in that moment, I had a prophetic word for her, and it came to pass for that woman. She came the next night and began speaking in tongues, and the church was obviously very excited for her because I knew she had been struggling with it. This happened in North Dakota. I've seen, I was in Sri Lanka in a blind board member. Yes, one eye blind board member in the church. Are there any board members here? The blind board member in Sri Lanka had his eyesight restored right in front of all the people. He read Psalm 91 aloud to the delight of the people there. We were in California, and we had people with hearing deaf issues, deaf ears healed in California. Demon possession, demons cast out. I was also in Sri Lanka, and I was attacked by a woman who tried to tackle me because she was demon-possessed to take out the man of God. She came lunging at me, and I sidestepped like, whoop, what was that? And then I realized what was going on. I said, stop, out, in Jesus' name. And the woman, she immediately stopped in the moment, and the demon started manifesting in her. The six ushers jumped her, and she got set free of her demon right on the spot. So I'm telling you guys, this stuff is real. This stuff is real, and Jesus is alive. He wants to touch anybody and everybody in this room today. He loves to encounter people, and it's been the theme of our life. We named our ministry Kingdom Encounters because we love for people to encounter the King. There's only one King, and every name in all of the earth and all of heaven is going to bow to that name, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about that is we sang there's power in the name of Jesus today, and it's so wonderfully true. There's also intimacy and love in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're hoping for. I don't know where your eyes are set or where your goals are. But there's one name and one man who paid the burden for your sins, who died on a cross for you at Calvary. How fitting, right? Calvary. Who died on a cross for you at Calvary. That one man had you on his mind when he saved the world, and he saved your world. And his name is Jesus. He rose from the dead victoriously. And today he wants to give you hope and life. And that's not just for salvation. Many of us have had the salvation experience where in a church we're obviously very committed on a Sunday morning. A lot of us have this moment. We're very committed. But we forget that there's a relationship with the Lord that wants to be developed. He's knocking saying, I want relationship with you. And today we're going to just touch on that for a few minutes. I want to be respectful of the time here. So if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, I'm going to just be in three passages today. And we're gonna focus on intimacy with the Lord today for just a moment. And then at the end, I'm going to pray for everybody that God would give you a miracle and would touch you right where you are. You're going to have an opportunity to receive the Lord if you've never done that before, or if you want to make a new commitment to that. As we're heading to the new year, what better time to start over and to start fresh? He wants to encounter you today. We're in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. And Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those that he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him, and that they might that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, in this passage, it's a very famous passage where Jesus calls the disciples to him. But there's something in this passage that caught my eye recently, and it changed everything about the way that I realized the call of the disciples. The disciples, we know them as these men that changed the world, these radical, radical men of God who walked with Jesus, who casted out demons, who saw many, many healings, who were part of the upper room experience where the Holy Spirit comes down. They're filled with the Spirit. And these men go out to the nations of the world. And without these disciples, we would not be Christians today. Because these disciples carried on the message of Jesus. And we now today sit in our church because of these disciples and these men. These men all gave their very lives, with the exception of John, who was attempted on his life many times. And these men all gave their very lives for this man. They were with him every day. They ate together. They slept in the same places. They were around the campfires, and they ministered the gospel together. They cleaned up the trash in these places together. They went on ships and across regions together and ministered the message of Jesus together everywhere. These men did life together for 3 amazing years, and then one day Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the dead, goes back to heaven, and says, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And these men were so driven by what happened in that season of life that they changed the world because of it. So what was the calling? We know that they had power to drive out demons and to see sicknesses healed. Anybody who believes in this room has that same ability. Amen. Amen. Because even you will do greater things than John the Baptist did. Even you will do that. Even I will do that. That's a promise from the Lord. These men did that. They were with him. But there was something about this verse that struck me that I never saw before. Because before he called them out to go drive out the demons and to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to do all these wonderful things, he called to him those that he wanted that they might be with him. He called to him those that he wanted that they might be with him. And he called to him those that he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed them, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and have the authority to drive out demons and to do all the stuff. Their first calling wasn't to go save the world. Their first calling was to be with Jesus. Church, your first calling is to be with Jesus. He wants your life and your relationship. He wants you, your heart. He wants your attention and your affection, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He desires relationship with you. We know that when God created the world and he spoke everything into existence, and then it says that he formed man from the dust of the ground. He spoke everything into existence, but with you and with me, he got into the dirt, and he formed us. His fingerprints are all over your life. Everything else is from his amazing, glorious breath of his mouth, which is amazingly wonderful. But there's something about the touch of the Creator that's on each of our lives that nobody else or nothing else has. He formed us. He had a personal touch in us. He wants relationship with us. He wants to have intimacy with us. When he went out to the mountainside to call to him those that he wanted, they came to him to be with him. That was the first calling of these apostles and of these disciples. And my friends, I would suggest to you today that it's the same calling with you. There's another famous verse in Revelation 3:20. Many of us know it. And if you want to turn your Bibles there, you can. But we know the famous verse that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me," or "be with him and be with me," depending on your version. There's this knocking, and as an evangelist, I've often used this verse many times as a salvation verse, and it is. He's knocking on the door of your hearts. Everybody here, he is knocking. But when you accept him into your life, church, the knocking doesn't stop. I remember the first time this struck me. When you invite him into your life, the knocking does not stop. He didn't stop wanting a relationship with you at the door of your heart. It's not just a, "Oh, congratulations, you accepted Jesus. Go on with your life." Because he went up onto the mountainside to call to him those that he wanted, that they might be with him. Church, he wants you. Because when he knocked on the door of your heart and you accepted him into your life, if you've done that, he didn't stop knocking just because the meal was over or you stopped eating together or you had that moment. He's there the next moment saying, "Can I spend time with you? Can I have a relationship with you?" We know the famous verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, you know. How do you pray without ceasing? You know, well, I've got to eat, God. I've got to go take a shower. I've got to go to work. You know, how am I going to pray without ceasing? I've got to talk to my wife or my husband. I've got to talk to my kid. You know, how are we going to pray without ceasing? It's this internal attention where you're constantly turning your attention to the Lord and having this relationship with him that doesn't stop just because you're done reading your Bible for the day, or you're done praying for the day, or you're done having fellowship for the day. It's this turning of your attention to the Lord. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because oftentimes when people approach me, and I haven't been doing this a terribly long time, I was in the ministry of Christ for All Nations for 3 years, the ministry of Reiner Bonnke and Daniel Kalenda. There have been over 76 million people that have come to the Lord in their ministry. I was serving as Daniel Kalenda's assistant, and it was an incredible, incredible season of my life. I got to learn up close and firsthand from these great men of God and to be able to be a part of the daily routines of this incredibly successful evangelistic ministry. I mean, when all is said and done, Reiner Bonnke will have led more people to the Lord than anybody in history right now. I mean, that's a pretty amazing season to be in, right? So praise the Lord, 76 million people. That's amazing. And I was in this, and oftentimes what I would see is when I went to these places and I would see these incredible miracles, they would blow my mind. I would see the blind see and the deaf hear and the cripples walk. And I remember going back one day and seeing 40 sets of wheelchairs and crutches just laying on the field the next day when I came back. And I'm like, huh? How does that happen? You know, I remember like how, you know, they're like, there, it has to be more complicated, or, you know. And I remember seeing a 7-year-old girl who spoke, she was deaf and she was mute. The first word she ever heard was Jesus, and the first word she ever spoke was Jesus. I remember 300,000 people were you know, praising God together in that moment. It was pretty amazing. And I'd go to these amazing, amazing, miraculous things, and I would see them, and like my heart was racing, and the anointing of God was there. And then the next moment, before I knew it, I'm back in the hotel room on these trips I'm on, and I would sit there, Pastor, being like, Jesus, you're so amazing. I just want to be with you. I just worship you, like, wow. Then I'd be, you know, go to my next meal, and I'd be praying for my meal, and wow, Jesus, did you see what happened last night? You know, I began processing through this, like, did you see the 40 sets of crutches and wheelchairs? Like, how does that even happen? You know, and I remember starting to come to this moment where it finally hit me when I saw this initial verse in Mark 3. He went onto the mountainside and called to him those that he wanted that they might be with him. And then one day it hit me. Jesus isn't impressed with the miracles because he's the one doing them. He's not even impressed with it. It's just who he is. It's what he does. It's in his nature to be good to us. He loves us. He loves all those people. He loves the people in Africa and the people in Marinette and the people in Pakistan and the people in North Dakota. And it's the same Jesus. And it wasn't complicated. I would see it happen in front of my eyes. And now as I've been launching out, just since August, we've been to 4 countries and 8 states. And in these, every single place we've went, we're just seeing miracles and healings and signs and wonders. And it doesn't matter if it's America or if it's other countries, because it's the same Jesus. But what hit me in America or in Africa, everybody thinks all the miracles happen in America. And in America, everybody thinks they all happen in Africa. And when I was in Asia, they all thought that they happened in Africa or in America or in Canada or, you know, everybody thinks that all the miracles happen everywhere else and all the other countries are more spiritual. It's the same Jesus, church. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus. When he went up on the mountainside to call to him those that he wanted that they would be with him, it wasn't a calling that ever stopped. Even after Jesus was gone and ascended into the heavens, there was still that being with him, that relationship with him. The veil tore and there's relationship with him. What does the Holy Spirit do? He says, hey, have you seen Jesus? Everything he does tries to get us to Jesus. If you look at the Father, he says, look, there's my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus says, hey, have you seen my Father? I only do what pleases my Father. You know, there's this beautiful trinity of the Godhead. They're all pointing back and forth to each other, and everything comes through Jesus, for Jesus, in Jesus, like after Jesus, through Jesus. Like this, it's all about Jesus. And the miracles aren't any more special than just the moments of intimacy when you're just sitting there with him. This morning when I was down by the lighthouse, I don't know if there was one other guy there. If you're here, I don't know if it's you, but I was down by the lighthouse and just worshiping the Lord, watching the sunrise and just worshiping him. And that moment wasn't any more special than watching the lady with the protruding stomach, like right in front of my eyes, get healed, or the rash disappearing, or the swelling, or the crutches, and the, you know what I mean? It's this beautiful relationship with Jesus, of intimacy with the Lord. Everything is through him and by him and for him and with him. Amen. Are you catching this? We have the authority to go out and drive out demons, and I've seen it happen time and time and time again, hundreds or thousands of them. We have the authority to go change the world through healings and miracles and all these things. But that isn't like the reward because you were more spiritual. It's just a byproduct of who Jesus is. He's doing it. You just have to make yourself available for it. If you see somebody sick in Walmart, you know, and they're, oh, I'm having a bad, you know, I'm having a good holidays. You just have a headache, but blah, 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 blah. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, did you say you had a headache? I know somebody who can heal you. You know, his name's Jesus. Can I pray for you? You know, it's that opening up our eyes and turning our attention. When we're focused on the Lord and the attention of our lives is on the Lord, it begins to outflow everywhere that we go. It's not like a built up, oh, the miracle's coming because I was extra holy and I fasted for 40 days. And, you know, it's because it's who he is. And he wants to change people's lives. So when he's knocking on the door of our hearts, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open my voice, I will come in and be with him and he with me. Church, are we answering the knocking? Are we answering the knocking? I once had somebody ask me, if Jesus came into the room, what would you say? What would you do? I would just say, please don't go. I just want to stay with you. I just want to learn from you. I just want to sit at your feet. I just want to be in your presence. Your presence is life. Peter says, you alone have the words of life. Where else would I go? Where else would I go? Luke, this story is amazing. If you want to flip your Bibles over to Luke 10. Is anybody feeling blessed today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's an amazing story. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture here. Luke 10, 38 to 42. We hear the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Pastor, we all think Martha was probably the perfect Christian woman, right? How many of you people in the church have ever served in any kind of a way? Okay, now if there's a church potluck to put on, we need Martha there, right? Like, if without Martha, the church potluck doesn't happen, you know? It says that she became distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, I think Martha's a pretty outstanding woman. I look at her life, and she invites all these people over to her home. It doesn't even say she asked for everybody to bring a dish to share or anything. It says that she was having a gathering of people at her house. She was doing all the work. She wanted her sister to help her. I mean, that's not a bad request, right? She even got Pastor Jesus to be there, the local pastor in the region. I mean, this is pretty cool. She gets Pastor Jesus to her house. Everybody's coming. I mean, all the disciples are there. It's amazing, right? This is the moment they've been waiting for. Mary, just hurry up and help me. Why do you keep messing everything up? Why are you just sitting there? Come help me. There's work to be done. You know, and Jesus comes marching in, ready to teach, and he's speaking, and maybe he had already began speaking, we don't know. And Martha runs up to him and says, Lord, tell her to help me. Don't you see her just sitting there? There's work to be done. And his answer to her confounds, I think, even the wisest of us. Jesus is there. He's teaching. Everybody's hanging on every word he's saying. I can just hear Peter's words resonating. Where else would I go? Where else would I go? Where else would I go? And Martha's like, I'm trying to be a good Christian woman here and get everything ready, you know. And his answer to her is amazing. He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better of it, and it will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. I think this is the posture of prayer. We oftentimes get into prayer and we make a commitment. All right, it's a new year. I'm going to pray an hour a day. We get 5 minutes in. I don't know what else to pray for. Pastor, can you give me your list? What else do I pray for? And I think that the answer is in this verse. I'm just going to sit at his feet and just listen to him. Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry for talking so much. I'm going to turn my ears on now. Can you do the talking now? I just want to listen to you. Is anybody with me here? Because Jesus went on the mountainside and called to him those that he wanted, that they might be with him. That they might be with him. Because the knocking never stopped. Because the knocking never stopped. He still wants that relationship with you. Because only one thing is needed. I remember the times, church, when I would come into the scriptures, and sometimes this happens still, and many times I hope that it gets even more intense, but I would just read the pages and weep over the pages because God's word was coming alive to me. And I would read, and I would remember the times I'd have my highlighters out of my pens, and I was highlighting and underlining, and there was nothing left to highlight and underline because I was highlighting everything. Has anybody ever been there? And you remember, like, you were crying over the verses in Leviticus and Numbers. I mean, I don't know if anybody else has ever done that, but There's certainly some things to cry over in there. But I remember times when it was just me and him, and I would be the last one in the church, and the pastor would throw me the key, you know, hey, you lock up tonight, you know, because I got to get home. I remember the times when I would get so hungry for the Lord that I didn't care what anybody else thought, and I would dance as David danced, or I would sing at the top of my lungs, or I would lay on the floor and they would lock up behind me, or I would write and journal, and I would, even though I'm not an artist, I would draw pictures, and, you know, just because I wanted to find other ways to express my worship to him, and I would have visions and dreams and signs and wonders. I would cry out to him, Jesus, you're wonderful. And then there's other times in my life I'm like, did 3 or 4 months go by and I haven't even, like, prayed to him, you know? Because time goes by and you forget, or you get busy, or, man, life's so busy lately. Man, I forgot about Jesus today. And you know what I'm saying? Do you remember those times when you were hungry for the Lord? Because Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Nothing else is going to fill you but that. And I'm coming to a close here if the worship team wants to come back up here. Guys, it's very true that we are going to go change the world, and we can do that right in the places around us at the Serving Spoon and the Walmart and Kmart and all the other places right in this region. We can do it every day. We can support missionaries and evangelists and give to them so that they can go do it. We can get behind them as they go change the world in the other regions where we can't go. We can help the widows and the orphans and these things where God has called us to do it through our giving and through our serving. We can go on missions trips, and we can go affect the world in these other places. But if we forget the intimacy and the first call of the disciples, when he went on that mountainside and called to him those that he wanted, that it was to be with him, then we've missed the whole point. A lot of times, and especially I find it in America, our mindset is like, oh, when are the miracles going to happen? And, you know, like we get so focused on those things. And as I've found in these places now, it's just happening. God just does it because he loves to do it. But what he really wants is, like, if God were flipping it around, he would say, hey, angel number one, Gabriel, you know, did you see Susie today? Did you see her heart today? Yeah, that was awesome, Jesus. You know, like, I don't think it would be, hey, did you see the miracle that happened? Because remember, he's doing it. It would be, hey, Bob, did you see Bob today? You know. And I don't know anybody's names in here, so I'm just throwing stuff out. But do you know what I'm saying? He would say like Tuesday morning when the diapers didn't get changed the way they should have, and your wife's yelling at you, and you're ready to. He would say, "Hey, did you see Joe today? He held his tongue. It's because he spent time with me this morning." You know. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants the intimacy and the being with you first. And then the authority comes, if you just want to play lightly in the background. It's great, because then Mark 3, the end of the verse happens. It says, and he gave them authority to go drive out demons. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Anybody who believes, all this stuff is possible. Does anybody in here believe? All this stuff is going to happen, guys. Like, it's just a byproduct of who God is. And if you love the Lord, it's going to come out of your life. But don't forget that intimacy is first. As you head into this new year, what are you going to do that's different? What's going to change in your heart? Is your attention going to change back to the Lord this year? Maybe you've been with the Lord for a long time, but it just feels stale or dry. God isn't stale or dry, guys. He's not. There's so many facets to him that are never unlocked that if we searched him for an eternity, we would never come to the end of it. He wants to show us new things and take us to new places and expand our territory. And yes, he wants to bless us and help us and do these things for us. He also wants to help us through our sin issues and help us through holding our tongue when we want to lash out at people. And you know what I mean? It's that sharpening that happens in the intimacy stage. I don't think that these men ever would have changed the world if they didn't walk with them every day. And likewise, I don't think any of us ever will either if we don't walk with them every day. Amen?